Yes, thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon. Oh, you guys can do better than that. Good afternoon. Now, I know you're all well behaved because I can look at this beautiful principal of yours and see that she's full of self-esteem and dignity, and so you're following her lead. But I think that she'll give you a little bit of some room if you want to smile or laugh a little bit or relax. I think that she'll cut you a bit of a break. Look, now see, I love it. Oh, hey! Look at that smile. Look at it. See, the smile is talking. Can you see it? Look at it. What is the smile saying? I'm amazing. Do you see it? She just said I'm amazing. Did you all hear that? Look at that. I'm happy. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Oh my God. Who is this guy? What's your name?
Radhika.
Radhical?
My name is Radhika.
Okay. And what are you passionate about?
I'm passionate about my studies, my friends, family, and I am a little young to say this, but I want to make a difference.
Bravo. Well, I'm passionate about all of you. And do me a favor. Give these young global leaders a round of applause. YGL, stand up. Stand up. Sujit, you also, you global fellow, stand up. Give them a round of applause, will you? And as I understand it, the benefactor, aren't you the benefactor of this great school? Stand up, Miss Elegant. Give her a round of applause. Tell her thank you. My point is, you don't do business with, you can sit down. You don't do business. And of course, we all praise the great Malvinder Singh for allowing us to come here. My good friend, who's very cool, I might add. You know, do you know he's got one of these headdresses? He's got one for every color. He all of his suits matches. Perfectly coordinated. You don't do business with governments or companies. You do business with people. And one of your great authors has said, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. Deepak Chopra said that. So we're all connected. I was just yesterday with the Crown Prince of Norway, Håkon Magnus, and Professor Pekka Himanen doing a class similar to this with young people in Finland. But something I've noticed that's unique, I've been to 70 countries, something that's unique to India. Two things. One, all the young people I meet are like 70-year-old Sikhs in like 16-year-old bodies. 17-year-old wise men and wise women. Like you're old, but you're young. And it's a compliment. I know it doesn't sound like it. But you're very wise. You're thinking. You're really processing and thinking about what's being said to you. Number two, and this is reminds me of Radhika here. Radhika. She's passionate. Look at that passion. Everybody here, they're very passionate about what they do. I'm very passionate about what I do. And I'm not gonna tell you my story in life. If it comes out in today, then we can share it if it's relevant. But let me tell you a couple examples of how dignity and passion and authenticity and wisdom play together. Let me first start by saying that your job today is to begin a new process of reimagining the world you want to live in. What did Gandhi say? You've got to be the change that you want to see in the world. You've got to be the change that you want to see in the world. Who has to be it? Who has to be it?
Yes.
You got to what? Be the what?
Change.
You want to see in the what? You've got a what? Be. The what? You want to see in the where? If you guys were a singing group, you'd be really bad. Let me try to. You got a what?
Be the change.
You want a what?
Be the change.
See in the where?
Lord.
Give them a round of applause. Very good. And if we're going to radically reimagine the world, then we've got to radically reimagine the definition of what joy is and success. Let's radically redefine what poverty is. To be broke is economic, but to be poor is a disabling frame of mind and a depressed condition of your spirit. And you must vow never, ever, ever to be poor again. To be broke is economic. To be broke is economic. To be poor is a disabling frame of and a depressed condition of your and your spirit. You must vow never, ever, ever to be poor again. So if you're rich in spirit, if you're rich emotionally, if you're rich educationally, if you're rich intellectually, if you're rich in your family, are you rich? So it doesn't matter how much money you have. I know some very wealthy people financially who are very poor. They're not very happy people. I know people who don't have much money who are very wealthy in their heart. We know some people who are wealthy. We know of some people who are very wealthy. There are leaders all around us. There are 220 countries in the world. But how many people here can remember the names of more than five presidents or prime ministers? Anybody here can remember the names of more than five? There are 220 countries now in the world. So all these bright people, educated by this brilliant principle, and you can't remember more than five. There's nothing unique about that. Don't feel bad. No, most people can't. So get this, 220 heads of state, but you can't remember more than five. What about the former heads of state? What about the senators and the mayors and the congresspeople? You don't necessarily remember them. Who do you remember? Mahatma Gandhi.
Nelson Mandela.
Very good. Who else?
Martin Luther King.
That's right. Who else?
Hopkins.
Who else?
Jawaharlal Nehru.
Very good. Who else?
George Washington.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa, got to get a lady in there. Ladies are the backbone of society. Yep.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. All right, who else? Cesar Chavez, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr. Now, my friend Andrew Young, who was Martin Luther King Jr.'s senior aide, UN ambassador.
Aung San Suu Kyi.
Suu Kyi, anybody else? Yep. I'm going to get to you. Yep.
John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy, very interesting. Now, we mentioned two heads of states. I'm going to come back to all three of them.
Adolf Hitler.
Now, that's very interesting. He mentioned Adolf Hitler. Now, let me go to the heads of states, and I'm going to go back to your comment, because that's a very interesting comment. He mentioned that the three heads of states that you mentioned were Nelson Mandela, Abraham Lincoln, and John F. Kennedy, who happened to be presidents of the United States and the president of South Africa. But is that the primary reason that you remember them, that they were president of a country? Or did they change the way you think? Did they inspire the way you feel? Did they make you want to be a better person? Yes or no? So it wasn't the position, right? I mean, today nobody says President Nelson Mandela. They just say what?
Nelson Mandela.
Right. So it is not the title. It is not their bloodline. It is not their position in the world. They didn't succeed because of the power to coerce. It was the power to influence. Jesus Christ, all these great leaders have the Prophet Muhammad. They're all spiritual leaders on some level. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Southern preacher. Mother Teresa was a nurse. Gandhi was an attorney. Nelson Mandela was a prisoner for 27 years. I can go on and on and on. So it doesn't matter your station in life. One person can change the world. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that one person can change the world? I'm talking to you. Can you agree that one person can change the world?
Yes.
Principal, is it okay for them to answer my question? Is it okay?
Yes, it's okay.
Okay. She said it's okay. Can one person change the world?
Yes.
Now, yes. Yes, Radical.
I kind of disagree.
Okay.
I feel like one person can influence the world. It is all of us who can make the world change. It's not just one person.
Unity is very important.
Huh?
Unity is very important for whatever we do. So we all have to unite together and then can lead.
Bravo. But are these things independent? Was Martin Luther King Jr. Leading a movement alone? Did Gandhi lead a movement alone? Did Nelson Mandela lead a movement alone? Was John F. Kennedy president of a country with no people? You need each other, but there does need to be a leader with a vision to take the risk of taking action. You can't have a group take action. A person has to take action and the group supports them. Let's now talk about who said Hitler. Give that man a round of applause. I'll tell you why in a minute. First of all, that was very courageous for him to say that. Very courageous for him to say Hitler. Let me say this. There are two things in the world. There's love and there's fear. What you don't love, you fear. Most of the problems in the world today are because 99% of the leaders in the world lead by fear. Now, you have charismatic, visionary, intelligent, amazing leaders who are very intelligent. Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, the names we've mentioned, Cesar Chavez, all visionary leaders, intelligent. Osama bin Laden, Hitler, Stalin, charismatic, intelligent, with a vision. I didn't say a good vision, with a vision. So you get to decide, do you light a candle or do you curse the darkness? Do you light a candle or do you curse the darkness? But you cannot deny that Osama bin Laden is a charismatic leader who some people follow. But he decided to curse the darkness. You're going to decide to do what? Light a candle. Give them a round of applause, will you? This is the essence of dignity, okay? It's making a choice about who you want to be and how you want to live your life. And you've got to do it at a very early age. Let me end by giving you a couple of personal stories of dignity. And one of them happened right here in India. Last year I was here, and I didn't tell Mavinder Singh this story. I was embarrassed, but I'm proud of it now. I was here and I gave a speech at a university. And when I left the university, it was about 10 o'clock at night. I was a little tired. And I got out of the taxi or the driver, and I went back to my room. And about midnight, I asked my wife, where's my pouch? Now, I want to make it clear now, everybody, this is not a purse. This is a pouch. I'm positive. So anybody wants to joke around with me, this is not a, when you go to the airport, everybody says, sir, whose purse is this? It's my pouch. Well, I left my pouch in the back of this taxi. So I called the university. I said, can you please send the car back to my hotel because I left my pouch in the back seat. They said, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, we don't have a car. We hired a taxi. We don't know where the taxi is. It's been 2 hours. Now, I'm ashamed to tell you, my first thought, this is gone. All of my assets, it's gone. They said, we're going to try to find the driver. He didn't answer his phone. I can't tell you how embarrassed I am today to tell you that my first thought was he's intentionally not answering the phone. At about 3 a.m, I get a call to my hotel room. Sir, the driver turned his cell phone on. He answered the cell phone. He found your pouch. We don't know what's in it, but he's coming back to your hotel. I get up, I go to the door, the driver shows up. Through an interpreter, he gives me my pouch. I look inside of it. My passport is there. My wallet's there. My credit cards are there. My money's there. My computer that I carry with me, everything was there. Feeling such a deep sense of appreciation, I reached in my pocket. I only had $70 US, but that was about his monthly salary, I was told. I had $70 US in my pocket, and I pulled it out and I said, I want you to do me a favor. Take this money. This is my way of saying thank you. Take this money. And he said, no. I said, there must be a translation problem. I told the translator, say one more time, I want to give you this, I won't tell your boss, take the money. He came back again, no. I said, do you need me to write this down? This has got to be a translation problem. I want you to take this money. He said, now a little angry, I said, no, I don't want your money. He said, I know what you're saying to me, but I didn't bring you your wallet back because I wanted a reward. I brought your wallet back because it's your wallet. I said, what can I do to pay you, repay you, say thank you? He said, the next time you're in India, come to my house and have tea. Meet my family, he said. He said, be my friend. I'm sitting there speechless and there's tears welling up in my eyes. And I promised him I'd do that. I've been carrying this around with me since I left India last year. This is the piece of paper that he wrote his name and his phone number and his address for me to come and visit him and have tea. Could you pass that around? Will I ever forget that man? Would you ever forget that man? Was that man rich? Did he have dignity? Now, supposedly, India, based on the world analysis, is one of the supposedly developing countries with all of these supposedly poor people. But I guarantee you, if I had left my wallet and my pouch in a taxi cab in New York City, I would never see it again. What would happen if I left that in a taxi cab in London? Would I see it again? Any big city in the world, a developed country, rich France. If I left it now that's Louis Vuitton now, so this is France. Would I see it again? Would I see it again? I'm talking to you, would I see it again? Where did I get it back? In India, the richest place on the planet. Give yourselves a round of applause. I will be in that man's debt for the rest of my life. I carry that note around all year trying to figure out what can I do to say thank you? What could I do to show my appreciation? Sometimes I wanted to send money and I was told you'll de-dignify, you'll disrespect this man's wishes. What you can do is shut up, go back to India, give him a call, and go have tea. I'll be calling him this afternoon. Last story. I'm in South Africa. And I'm giving a speech at a formerly apartheid school. Does anybody not know what apartheid means? Okay, so I'm at an apartheid school and I'm giving a speech. And in 45 years, they had never had a speech given by a black man. These are all wealthy Caucasians. And I'm giving a speech and I'm telling them a little bit of what I'm telling you, but stronger to them. I said, I'm embarrassed to be here because you're all smart, intelligent, and you're having a lot of fun, and you should be, but you also need to be taking life seriously. You need to be looking about what you can do for your fellow man. You need to be looking about what you can do to make South Africa a better place, because you've got to be the what? Change you want to see in the what? World. That nobody's going to change this country but you. The president's not going to do it. The provincial minister's not going to do it. Who has to do it?
We.
That's right. So after 45 minutes of giving this speech, my vendor, I didn't know how they were going to respond. I went to go sit down, and they gave me a standing ovation. I'm taking pictures, I'm talking to the kids, and a young man walks up to me, and for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to say he was Caucasian, about 19 years of age. Can you stand up for me? Can you put that down for me? What's your name?
Dashar?
Rana.
Nice to meet you. I'm John. And he walks up to me and he says, I'm glad you came. He says, my parents probably would not understand a word you said. He said, my grandparents would probably violently disagree with everything you said. But he said, I want you to know, I got it.
I got it.
What you said. And that I want to be the
change
that I want to see in the
world.
And I want to make a promise to you, John. I want you to do me a favor, he said. He took this bracelet. You can sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Give him a round of applause. He took off this bracelet and he put it on my hand. And he said, I want you to wear this bracelet as you travel the world. And I want you to remember the promise I made to you that I will be the change that I want to see in South Africa. Now, I never met this guy before. He didn't know we were going to meet. This bracelet says peace. I've never taken it off. Will I ever forget that man? Do you understand how deep it was for this young man from apartheid South Africa, whose parents and grandparents ruled over blacks? And I'm there as a black man speaking to him about a new South Africa. Do you know what it took for this man to come up to me and to say that they made a mistake and that he disagrees with his grandparents and he agrees with this new philosophy and he gives me his bracelet that says peace? That's dignity. Is that man rich?
Yes.
Is his spirit rich?
Yes.
Is that the kind of person that you'd want to have as a friend?
Yes.
One person can change the world. You are that one person. Don't let anybody tell you what you cannot do. Don't let anybody tell you you cannot change the world. Don't let anybody tell you that you cannot do well and do good. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not successful or meaningful, or that your brothers and your sisters in India are not as important as you. We've got to be the change we want to see in the world. India has a great future. It's the most spiritual place I've ever been in my life. And I think that my YGLs will join me in saying this, that when we leave here today, we will be able to repeat what we've always said, that we've left here and gave you something, but you have given us something more. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Your encouraging words definitely deserve this famous saying. I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather be a super meteor than a sleepy planet.
Thank you.
I should not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I should use my time. I once again thank you, sir, for your precious time.
Delhi guy.
Yeah. I request the group leaders to please lead the students to their respective classrooms.
Good afternoon, it's a pleasure to be here. My name is Amit Chandra. I'm an engineer by background, but I happen to run India's largest investment bank and called PSP Merrill Lynch. And then I got up to start my own firm this year, which is a private equity investor across Asia. And what I'm most passionate about and sharing with all of you is education, involved in the foundation where we educate 4,000 children now, transforming Pune from the slums. It's a real pleasure to see such bright faces and great answers. Thank you for having us here.
Now, what he didn't say is he's rich. That's right, that's right.
I'm Anandan Mohan Singh. I'm the CEO and Managing Director of Anthraxi. And I'm highly passionate about healthcare and trying to do our little bit from the group and the family to make sure we bring better healthcare, better facilities, and make it affordable to people and do it in a manner which is with care and compassion. We had a global meeting today in India last year, which I was involved with. There's a lot of excitement, fun, and learning for all of us. And this afternoon as well, we really look forward to engaging with you, to talking with you, and to learning from you.
Bravo.
Hi, my name is Jackie Fonda, and I come from a small state called Odisha. I'm sure you're aware of the state. My background is management, but I run a small technology firm in Bhubaneswar, it's Odisha. We build communications infrastructure for the state of Odisha. It is one of the poorest states in the country, but as you all know, that it's really catching up with the rest of the country. And I do meet a lot of school children in Odisha, and I must say that it's really wonderful to be here in Delhi and to see all of you bright faces here. Thank you.
Bravo.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sujit Kumar, and I come from a not so small state called Odisha.
Yes.
As Jackie mentioned, I'm extremely proud and honored to be here. Thank you, Maxi. Thank you, Mr. Gupta, for facilitating this. I work for the Organization for the World Economic Forum, of which we are global leaders for the part of. And I'm here to learn from you all.
Bravo.
Hello, my name is James Honda. I come from Japan. I was born in the States. I grew up in the UK, but I'm currently working in Japan. I work in healthcare, like Alvinda, but I work on the policy side to bring healthcare to the poorest people in the world. So it's a field called global health. So the idea is that people, regardless of their income, their race, or their standing, should have access to healthcare is available anywhere around the world. And in Japan here, we're chairing a meeting for the G8 this year, which is where the heads of the richest eight countries, hopefully they're spiritually rich and wealthy, as John mentioned. But we're gathering a meeting in July, and hopefully we can get a commitment for those countries to try to fund healthcare to bring health around the world. So that's one of the things I'm working on today and working on right now. It's a real honor to be here, and I'm here really to learn from what you have to say, because I think you're the change that we should be supporting, and it's a real honor to be here. Thank you.
Bravo.
Hi, my name is Dan Schein. I have a question. How many of you have a computer at home?
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
I will tell you, we were somewhere else today, the number was not so high.
Most of the kids have computers.
The question is, what percentage of the world has internet access today? Anyone? I guess it's okay.
5%.
5%? Yeah.
No guesses?
Probably less than that.
Radical.
Radical.
30%? Any other guess? Another one. You don't get that guess. 40%. Okay. Very interesting guesses.
See, so everybody sees the world from their own perspective.
70%.
People see the world from their own.
Very interesting. If you were 70%, it would be very exciting for me. Because right now the number is 18%.
Wow. Wow.
And that's worldwide, okay?
At least more than what we thought.
United States and Europe and India. In Africa, I was just in Nairobi yesterday, it's 3.6%.
Yeah.
So I bring this up to help explain who I am. I work for a company called AMD. Our computer chips are probably using a lot of your different computers. But the job that I have is called 50 by 15, which is to enable half of the world, 50%, not 70, but 50, with internet access by 2015. So we're only at 18% right now. We're trying to get to 50% in just about another 7 or 8 years. And the challenges of doing that in many of the poorest places, for healthcare and for education, is one of the most significant challenges of our time. Because a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today, and a lot of the information that you already know and you're going to be sharing with us, is learned through technology. And that's the passion and the things that I do, and I'm very much looking forward to learning from you today. But when you really think about what's possible with a connected world, the possibilities for what dignity means, and the possibilities of helping other people understand what dignity means, takes on a whole new meaning. That's why this is so important.
Internet access is dignity.
So I'm delighted to
That's
be
true.
Here.
Yeah.
It's a level up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Malvinder and Jackie,
Amit,
Michelle,
room,
James,
you know
and
Sam.
Okay.
Quick,
yeah.
Minute.
Okay.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
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 Come, I'll show you my little one. How old are you?
Five.
Five. My daughter is 2 and a half.